Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12, maybe 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, being warned of God that they, in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. 1 Kings chapter 13. For a second word. 1 Kings 13 and verse 8, 7. The king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. The man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now the other word is in James chapter 2. Comes after Hebrews, I believe. James chapter 2, verse 25. James 2, 25. Likewise, or 24, ye see then how by that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. Another way, another way of salvation, another way of worship, another way of the gospel. And so we are going home another way. I don't know just how I'll be going home, but going after this meeting, God willing, making a start. I trust when we get home, we'll be the better. I'm pretty sure we will. For the life of me, when I get home from a conference, I can't get over it for a few days anyway. Somehow or other, I can't get back into that same rut for two or three days, maybe. I go to a conference, you know, and your wife doesn't go, and when I come home, she said, well, what kind of a conference was it? I got kind of wise. I don't boost it up too high because I think she'll expect quite a lot of improvement. So I just say, oh, pretty fair, you know. But, you know, that's what we're test on. It's all right when we're together, dear friends, in the conference. It's a lovely conference. When we get home. Home! That's the place that tries us out, isn't it? Well, the Lord help us. We're going home. Home. Doesn't that sound nice, dear friends? Home. Going home. I say my car always takes less gasoline going home somehow or other than it does going away. It seems to need a grease job going away, but coming home, it seems to run all right. All right. I say the next best thing to being home is going home. Going home. Going home. Well, thank God for ever saving our souls from hell when we had no home to go to. But the Lord Jesus left his home in heaven and came down to where he had no home, nowhere to lay his head, and he went to Calvary and he died in our lumen stead. And he's got to, as one would say, got to prepare us a place. You know, I have a different idea of from my brethren, lots of things. I kind of like to disagree with them, you know, because it helps you to show a little grace once in a while. But some of the brethren, they believe that the Lord Jesus is still preparing the place up there. And he's been preparing it for going on 2,000 years, and it isn't quite ready yet. I believe when the Savior cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," I believe the place was ready. And he took the dying thief with him. I don't think he took him home to a half-finished place either. I believe the place was ready. I believe when he said, "I go to prepare a place for you," he had Calvary on his mind. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I like that. It means that he knew they expected something, and he wouldn't allow them to be disappointed or deceived. He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Then he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." And that's Calvary. And I believe that's where the place was prepared. Albeit the Lord has an unfinished work in the glory. I know that. I've discussed it with my brethren. And I like discussing things with my brethren, whether I agree with them or not. I'd like to see it their way. And then they're more likely to try and see it my way. And yet enjoy it both ways, if you like, for I think I do too, because he's still carrying on that unfinished work at God's right hand as our great high priest and our advocate. But I still think that the place was, you see, it's different. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spake, and it was done. He commands. God doesn't take a long, drawn out time to do a thing. He just does it. Oh, going home, went to Calvary, he said. Man asked me a while ago, "Mr. Shivers, were you ever to Palestine?" "No." "The Holy Land?" "No." "Any desire to go?" "No." But I said I was at Calvary this morning. But he didn't know what I meant. So I quote him a little verse. I said, "I've no desire to go to Palestine. There's nothing there." A little verse says, "We went to Bethlehem, but found the babe was gone, the manger dark and alone." Is it? "And whither has he fled?" "To Calvary," they said. "To suffer in our stead, we went to Calvary, but found the sufferer gone. The place all dark and lone. Whither," we asked? "Into the skies," they said, "up to the throne, for us to intercede. So then to heaven we'll go. Babe is not below. Heaven is our home, brethren. That's where we really belong." Man said to me the other day, when I was away over here somewhere, he looked at the license and he says, he was holding the thing, you know, putting the guy, says, "You're longer at home, mister." I said, "Not that way, mister. I never was so near." "Damn, no. Near home. Oh, if we only knew how near home we were, what a difference it would make to your friends. Every day the miles grow less marching home together. Oh, it would soften our hearts and give us more godly determination to go back, to be content to go back that other way, that other way." Why did they go another way? They were turning away from the world, from the King. And so it says they departed another way. And that speaks to me of the world. See, brethren, we're going back another way. Not that same way. We came that way. I came from the world, from Egypt. I was noticing while my dear brother was reading about that king in Deuteronomy, I think it was, and it says in verse 16, ye shall not henceforth return. Ye shall henceforth return no more that way. If they hadn't gone near to Egypt, they wouldn't have got away. The way to keep clear, the way to be saved from the world is not to go that way. Don't pass by it at all, dear friends. In our little one-horse village where we live now, they've got a drinking saloon, and I'm blessed if I don't hate to pass that thing by. I cross the street and go the other side of the road altogether. Best way is to keep away. Come not nigh the door of her house, dear friend. Evil Abraham. Dear Mr. Douglas used to tell in his own inimitable way about a man in the old country. I've heard all the old preachers tell it about a rich man who wanted to hire a coachman to drive his carriage and pair from his country estate into his office in the city. And so he put an ad in the paper. On the day appointed, the applicants all appeared before him. And he had one grand acid test to put to them all. Between his country estate and the office, there was a great precipice, great chasm. And the road went right alongside of that for a way. And the gentleman told the man that wanted the job, he said, I want to ask you one thing. How close could you come to that precipice and not go over it? I wouldn't want to go over it. Well, then he started to think how close he'd come. He told him, maybe 3 feet, maybe 4 feet, I don't know. All right, he put him to one side. And the next man came, how close could you go to it? And he'd come 3 feet, maybe. And they kept getting a little closer all the time until one man came in that wasn't maybe quite so bright as the rest. But he asked him, he says, Mister, I keep as far away from it as I could to see you're the man. You get the job. Ah, that's the best way, then. Pass not by. Avoid it. Turn away. Whether it be religious things or worldly things or any other things, dear friends, familiarity breeds contempt. You keep away from the, I'll tell you the best way to keep away from the world, the devil, if you pocket full of tracts. Give them the tracts. Oh, dear friends, it's wonderful. What a grand disinfectant that is. Boy, they'll smell it all over. In that little place where we live, and I've been going there for, we were married there 48 years ago or nine in 1909, and we're living there now. And I know the people pretty well, and they're nice people, I love them, and I try to be kind with them and friendly with them as far as I can. A man in our little assembly in Grimsby a few years ago thought it was terrible that I said we ought to love the poor people of the world. He said that was terrible. Of course he didn't understand maybe, but I meant we should love them as God loves them. But I tell you, I was saying, you know, to somebody here, the reproach in that little town, I'm just as good a man as any of them there. No, just as much as I am doing. But you know that reproach, it's hard on me. I was telling a man, I wouldn't bear it for anyone but for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think I would. But oh, when we think of Him, what a joy it gives us to suffer a little reproach. And they don't want to talk to you. The man in the store, when he gives you what he's got an awful busy job in the back of the shop to do quick. And you know, they're all the same. They keep away from you. Well, that's a good sign, dear friend. Lord, help us. So they went home another way. Well, I'm sure they went home happy because they had seen the Christ of God. And they had presented their gifts to Him. And that gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they turned, and they went back to their own land another way. Like they had him with them. Wasn't that the way it was? Am I telling it to you right? Was that the wise men? They opened their gifts. Weren't you listening? He sent back to them gifts, gold. Where did I read that? Well, we'll have to look at it again, dear friend. But I know it says that they warned of God. That would be Joseph wait now. I've only read the Bible through 51 times, and I'll have to read another 50 times. It was the wise men. Oh, I said, why didn't you tell me that? Didn't you know that? Well, certainly. Why didn't you tell me that? The wise men, when they came into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, not Mary and the young child, but the young child. I think the young child is mentioned over and over again. In one place, Mary's hardly mentioned at all. They opened their, when they saw him, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed to the old country. Another way. Well, the Lord help keep us from this poor, godless world. For Herod would have killed them if he could. The world will kill you if they can. Destroy your testimony. You go back another way. Don't go back the way you came. Well, you say, I came pretty well down. Well, that's not so bad, but I hope you'll go home happy in soul. And a little more love in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a little more love for his dear people. And a little more love for poor sinners going to hell. You go back another way. And the same with that religious man. If I hadn't said I'd quit in 20 minutes, I'd be tempted. But I'm going to do it. 2 minutes yet. On this clock. Those men. That man of God. And that's a sad story, I think. Oh, the wickedness of that old prophet. He said an angel had told him. I was reading in Galatians, Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And the dear man of God went down to there to curse that altar of Jeroboam. And God told him, don't eat bread, have no social intercourse with him. And don't go back the same way. Go back another way. And the dear young man seemed to really have it in his heart to do that. But for that wicked old prophet, that's a sad story. It grieves me the way that old man talked to him. Oh, I think that's terrible, dear friends. But you see, God allows us to be tested. To be tested. And so, it says, You know the story. I didn't read it. He said, I'm going back another way. Well, we've turned our back on all the altars of Jeroboam and all the other altars round about us, and God help us not to go that way anymore, for you'll likely get snared into it again. Keep away from it. And all their ways, dear end. Keep away, go back another way. Well, go near. I was reading in my chapter the other night in Kings about a man called Ahaz the king. I think he went down to Damascus and he saw an altar down there. And then he got to make one. He got a pattern of the thing. Oh, I tell you, you can't improve on God's simple ways. Never. Never. You can get in all the props you like, dear friends, but it's better without any, don't need any props. So, dear man, he meant to go back another way, and so do you and so do I, but the Lord help us not to be over self-confident. Pray that little prayer, hold thou me up and I shall be saved. Let us pray for one another, that we'll keep going back home that other way, and the same in the gospel. Without any of the world's trappings and ideas, it's no use, dear brethren. No use. What we need is the power of God in His Holy Spirit and in simplicity and godly sincerity. Like Rahab to put out the scarlet cord, preach the blood, and then go out another way and tell somebody else, some person. 20 minutes. Do that.